All right, you guys. So we're in the middle of this sermon series. We're actually, today's the last day for a little bit, of the Gospel According to 21 Pilots. And last week, we gave a sermon on the song Neon Gravestones. We talked about how this song is all about how our society glorifies what? Suicide. It's been popularized. It's like the thing to do. Don't do it. And then this week, we are going to look at the song Legend, which I love because that's a song that's all about glorifying life. Last week, looked at how our culture glorifies suicide. This week, looking at how our culture should, we should glorify life. The fact that both of these songs are on the same album, for me, just underscores, just reinforces that this album and this band, they are all about the message of repentance, of changing the way that you think. They've got a song that says, suicide, bad, life, good, change the way that you think, change the way that you live your life. Stop thinking about the devil's lies and what he says to us and about us, and start thinking about God's truth and what he says about us and to us. We saw this message of repentance, of changing the way that we think, five times alone in the last section of Neon Gravestones. Don't get me wrong, the rise in awareness is beating a stigma that no longer scares us, but for the sake of discussion and spirit of fairness, could we make some room for a new point of view? There's change the way that we think, number one. And could it be true that some could be tempted to use this mistake? There's change the way that we think, number two. As a form of aggression, a form of succession, a form of a weapon, thinking, I'll teach them while I'm refusing the lesson. It won't resonate in our minds. I'm not disrespecting what was left behind, just pleading that it does not get glorified. Maybe we swap out what it is that we hold so high. Five times in that song, you hear them saying, hey, let's change the way that we think. The best way for us to obey God, to be people that repent, who change the way that we think, is to change the way that we act. If you want to learn a lesson, you can read about it all day, but the best thing to do is go out and just do it. There ain't nothing to it but to do it. Now, we've been showing you this slide in almost every single sermon during this series, but these are the spiritual disciplines that are all throughout the Bible, that are all throughout this album. This call to action that we be a people that pray. If you want to change the way that you think, be people who pray. Pray about anything. Pray about everything. You're struggling with a test? Pray about it. You're struggling about a question with your faith? Pray about it. We need to be people that read God's word regularly. I pray, I wish, Jesus, make it happen that each of you would read your Bibles for like 10 minutes a day. It would change your life. It'd change your whole day if you started off your day with 5 or 10 minutes in God's word. We need to be people that do community together. We need to be in small groups. If you're not in a small group here, you should be. And if you don't want to, if this is not your church home, you should be somewhere else at least doing life with a biblical community to listen to your hurts and to encourage you, to celebrate you. We need to be people who serve and use our gifts and our talents to bless others the way we've been blessed. And we need to be people who worship together. Worshiping is a spiritual discipline. It is good for our souls to praise the Lord on our best days and our worst. If you want to change the way that you think, change the way that you act. Man, what if all of you just took your notes right now and were like, I really need to work on this one right now. And just write yourself a reminder. I'm going to read my Bible every day, 10 minutes this week. I'm going to worship at the end of this sermon like I've never worshiped before. Nobody knows that I sing awesome or horrible. But I'm going to sing with all my heart at the end of the sermon, and God will bless you for doing any of these, especially for doing all of them. Now, maybe you're in here and you're a skeptic. Maybe you've never really given yourself all into these things, and you need some proof that these disciplines work. Hey, prove it, right? People have nicknamed me that in the past. They call me prove it because I'm like, prove it. Show me the evidence. Well, Neon Gravestones actually addresses that. He says, change the way that you think five times, and then the next stanza says this, go find your grandparents or someone of age. Pay some respects for the path that they paved, to life they were dedicated. Now that should be celebrated. You need some proof that obeying God's word works? Then go talk to somebody who has been there and done that. In short, these two songs, the message behind them, we need to stop looking to worldly celebrities to tell us what's right and what's wrong. And we need to start looking to godly celebrities. A few things to know about this song, Legend, before we listen to it. This song was written to commemorate Tyler Joseph's grandfather, Robert Joseph, who passed away just this past March. Robert was featured on the right side of the album cover for the band's 2013 album, Vessel. That's Tyler's grandfather, Robert, on the right. That's Josh Dunn's grandfather on the left. They put their grandfathers on the album cover. Oh, I think it's awesome. Who does that? The lyrics of this song, Legend, imply that Robert died of complications related to Alzheimer's while Trench, their album, was being recorded. And then in the song also, it's worth noting that Tyler mentions his niece, Pepper Joseph, cool name, in this song, who was born less than a month after this man, Robert, who would have been a great-grandfather, passed away. So she never got to meet him. Now, in an interview, Tyler stated that this song, Legend, of all 14 tracks, that this one was the hardest song for him to write on this album. Let's listen to it, let's hear what it has to say, and then we're going to talk about it. Legend.
You were one of those classic ones, traveling around this sun. You were one of those classic ones.
Guys are arguably like the top band in the world, and he just devoted an entire song just to celebrating his grandfather's life. The first time I heard this song in my car, it was clear to me what it meant. I just started crying in my car. Who does that? I love that. All right, let's talk about it. What did this song just talk to us about? What biblical values and principles can we extrapolate from this song? The song begins, "You were one of those classic ones. Now, everybody knows." Let's define these words, legend, which is the name of the song, and classic, that shows up over and over and over. A legend is someone who embodies greatness, someone who others aspire to be like. It is also a legend, the story of the life of a saint, which I don't think is a coincidence. And then there's this word classic, which we love to use. Oh, that's classic. Classic means to serve as a standard, a model, or a guide. It means of enduring interest, quality, or style. A thing that will forever be cool and worth mentioning. These are words of esteem and praise. They're high value. And do you hear the way that Tyler is honoring his grandfather with these words? My grandfather is a legend. My grandfather is a classic, and I want everybody to know it. I love that. Don't you guys love that? Yeah, you do. What does God say to us? What does the Bible say to us about this idea of honoring our elders? It says a lot. I picked a few verses that we're going to look at. Leviticus 19:32, Old Testament law, way in the beginning. You shall stand up in the presence of the aged and honor the elderly. You shall revere your God. I love that. Why should we honor our elders? Well, God said so. That's enough right there. Why should we honor our elders? Because they've earned it. They've lived life. They've made it past a lot of stuff that many people don't. Why should we honor our elders? Because honoring our elders teaches us how to honor God. In the presence of the aged, stand up and honor the elderly. You shall revere your God. If you honor the elderly, it's going to help you honor me. If you obey your parents, it's going to help you obey me. These things are connected. I hate obeying my parents. They're wrong all the time. My grandparents, they smell funny and I don't want to do what they say. God is saying to you that if you just learn to honor them and obey them and do what they say and respect them, it will help you honor and respect and obey the Lord. You got a hard time obeying God? How are you doing obeying your parents and your grandparents? So, what else does the Bible say about honoring our elders? Ephesians 6 is like the verse on it. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents or your elders because you belong to the Lord and this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your mother and father, things will go well for you and you will live a long life, which will be full of blessing. Why should we honor our elders? Well, there it is again. God's telling us to. He said so. He's God. And it's the right thing to do. This is coming from the creator of your soul who knows how you work best. It's the right thing to do. And, man, if you obey, if you honor your elders, God said he's going to bless you. Things are going to go well for you. You're going to have a long life. Do you desire those things? Well, they are intrinsically tied up with honoring your elders. This is the first command God ever gave that had a promise attached to it. Do this, and I'm going to do this for you. And this right here that he wants to do for us, we all desire that. We all want that. Are you missing those things in your life? Try honoring your elders. This scripture I put in as a joke. I like it. It's funny. And then I researched it, and it blew me away. 2 Kings chapter 2, 23 through 24, as Elisha, who was an old guy, was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. Go away, Baldy, they taunted. Go away. And Elisha turned around and he looked at them and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And then two bears came out of the woods and ripped them limb from limb, 42 children in all. And I'm like, I'm going to put that in because I'm old and I'm bald. And they'll never make fun of me. Just, you know, for giggles. Why should we honor our elders? Because if you don't, bears, right? But seriously, I looked up, I felt like God's like, oh, there's a lesson there, buddy. So I went and I read some commentary and I found out the historical significance of this story. These kids died. God upheld the curse, which is crazy to think about. Because they were not only not honoring, they were dishonoring their elders. They were doing the opposite of what God said, and there's consequences for us. when we don't obey the Lord and when we do the exact opposite of what he said. There's consequences for our actions. And the historical context is this. Those kids were making fun of that guy because their parents had told them to. Their parents had told them to hang outside of town and make fun of him for being an old man and for being a follower of the Lord. Their parents had taught them poorly because their parents had abandoned God a long time ago. However, their grandparents were of a generation who had not abandoned God, and had these kids obeyed the Lord and gone to their grandparents and asked them about life, been willing to esteem them enough to say, hey man, what do you want to tell me about life? They would have learned a lesson that would have saved their life. Do not make fun of the Lord's servant. Don't make fun of the aged. Honor them. But they did the opposite, and it literally cost them their lives. What do we take from that? We take this. Different generations of people have different lessons to teach us. What your parents have experienced is different from what you are going to experience in life. From what your grandparents experienced in life and what they've walked through is different from what your parents and what you have walked through in life. All through the Bible, you see this generation obeyed the Lord, and then this one didn't. And then this one did, and then this one didn't. We should have a well-rounded view of how the world works and how God works by not only seeking our friends' advice, our teachers' advice, our parents' advice, but also the elders', our grandparents' advice. It could literally save us, not just our lives, but our souls. So, I want to show you a slideshow that I put together. And I want these pictures to speak a little bit for themselves. I want you to tell me what you see. But just looking at the faces of the elderly teaches us a lesson. Check this first one out. Look at this. I think that's profound and beautiful. I look at that and I see an elderly person, and it's clear they've seen some stuff. They've lived life. You don't get hands like that just sitting in a chair. Like, that woman has lived. Show me my next one. Look at that. I love that. Our elders have loved. They have known love. They have loved deeply. They've loved with all their heart, maybe been loved by someone else with all their heart, and there's lessons there that are valuable. And our elders have known not only love, but loss. The people that are older than us, maybe the grumpy ones that were like, man, don't talk to that guy, they've got some things to teach us about what it is to lose something, to grieve, to have loved and lost. And those kind of lessons are very valuable, very important. And you don't have to wait to go through it yourself. You can ask questions of your elders and learn some valuable lessons. Our elders have known joy. Look at this woman with her, like, solo tooth. I love her. I want to hang out with her. I don't know if she speaks English, but I would listen to her all day long. The joy on her face as she's literally got, like, 1 foot in the grave, right? I'm just being honest. But look at that woman. She's got lessons to teach about having a joyful outlook on life. Our elders have known joy, and if you want to experience true joy, why wouldn't you go to somebody who's living it or lived it and ask them about it? But another lesson is, next picture, our elders have known great sorrow and suffering. You don't go through life as long as this gentleman has and not experience a real blow to your heart, maybe even to your faith. This guy knows suffering. Like, I don't know what he's upset about, but he's in it. And there's lessons to be learned from this gentleman and the ladies and gentlemen in your lives that have loved and lost, who know joy and suffering. Our elders, next picture, have lived. I love this picture. Like, haven't you felt like this? Like, what's going on? I don't even know what to do here. And these people, like, they've lived it, they've known it, and maybe have some really good tips on when you have no idea what to do. Well, here's what I did back in 1985, and it saved my life. Or here's what I did in 72, and man, don't ever try that. There's some lessons in the fact that our elders have lived. And the main point is, next picture, our elders have learned. Look at the wisdom on this woman's face. That is profound. That lady knows some stuff. Even if it's the most simple, basic lesson of, I need Jesus. Like, she knows some stuff that maybe would save your life, would save my life, if we would take the time and honor her enough to say, tell me something about living on earth. All right. We should honor our elders, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples how. Ask them questions. Ask them some questions. You know what? I love to learn about my parents. I used to love to learn about my grandparents when I had them. By asking them questions, specifically, tell me about when you were a little girl. Tell me about what life was like when you were a little boy. And they light up that I would care enough to ask them that question, and they start telling me stuff I've never heard before. My mom, to this day, I'll ask her questions about her childhood, tells me stuff I've never known about her that opened my eyes to all kinds of different avenues of her heart and her soul. Honor your elders and ask them some questions about them. We can also honor our elders by just getting to know them. Find out what their likes are. Because, as we just noted, getting to know your elders and learning from them, being willing to learn from them, could literally save your life. You could learn a lesson that would help your soul journey on this earth. The next verse in the song says, you were one of those classic ones. There it is again, that honor, that esteem. Traveling around this sun. Now, you can choose to hear that statement, that line, two different ways. And it wouldn't be the first time that the 21 Pilots had used the word S-U-N and meant S-O-N, Jesus Christ, traveling around this sun. Tyler could very easily and honestly be saying that his grandfather Robert lived a long life, traveling around the sun. But he could probably also be saying, if not really trying to press in, that Robert not only lived a long life, but he built his whole life around Jesus Christ. We should honor those in our midst who have lived long lives, and we should especially honor those in our midst who have walked through not just life lessons, but faith lessons, who have learned the hard way sometimes what it means to really act out your faith, change the way that you think by changing the way that you act. Jeremiah 6:16 is one of my favorite passages about this. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads, at the places of decision, and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. I bet Robert Joseph, Tyler's grandfather, was the kind of man who asked God, what should I do? And who waited on God to answer, even if that waiting meant years. I bet he was the kind of man who not only knew the lessons of the Bible, but who lived them. And that's a man worth asking. Tell me about your life. What do you have to share with me or my generation? We should honor our elders by asking questions about their life and their faith. You were one of those classic ones. I wish she knew you. Talking about his niece, Pepper, who was born a month after and never got to meet her grandfather on this earth. Man, I wish she knew you. We all need a classic one in our life. Let's make it personal. We all need somebody in our life, whether they're 10 years older than you or literally 100 for you guys, someone who's been around, someone who's willing to invest in us, someone who's willing to speak the truth in love to us, even if it means saying the hard thing. We should honor our elders by inviting them to speak the truth to us, by inviting them to share their opinion with us, by inviting them to get to know who we really are. And so here's the personal aspect. Who are you in your seat right now hearing my voice? Who are you allowing to speak into your life in a way that if they say something, you'll try it? If they say something, you'll listen and give it a shot. Do you have an elder or a grandparent that you have allowed to speak into your life? And if you have them and you haven't allowed it, you should. Who knows what they might not say if you ask a good question? Do you have a parent or a teacher that you allow to speak into your life? Or are you just like, you don't even know. I'm not listening to anything you say. That'll hurt you. Do you have a small group leader or a mentor or a teacher of faith? Maybe it's me, maybe it's one of your Wednesday night leaders, maybe it's a pastor at their school, but do you have somebody older than you that you allow to speak into your life, because you need it. God has commanded it, not only of us, but for us. It's God's will for every one of us in this room that we should learn from those who have gone before us. And another question, just because you guys are 11, 12, 13 years old in this room, does not mean that you are exempt from also pouring into the people behind you. There are people that you know that are younger than you that could learn from you. God is a God of seasons. God is a God of blessing to bless. Who are you allowing to bless you with words of truth spoken in love? And who are you blessing? Because you need to do both. It's good for your soul. One of the great lessons that elders have to teach us is simply and only this: life is short. You were here when I wrote this, but the masters and the mixes, they're going to take too long to finish to show you, and I'm sorry that I did not visit you. I didn't know how to take it when your eyes did not know me like I know you. Probably referencing visiting him in the hospital in his last days when Alzheimer's had such a grip on him that he couldn't recognize his own grandfather, or his grandson anymore. I love this sentence. I'm sorry I did not visit. Tyler just outed himself to the entire world. It was too hard to go visit my grandfather when he died. I totally just botched that. I missed an opportunity. I wussed out. That's what he's saying. And I love that, because Tyler just declared on a global scale, I messed up and I made a mistake. And where's the lesson in that? It's this: even though his grandfather's gone, he still owned his mistake and he still apologized. His grandfather wasn't there to receive it, but he still apologized and admitted. He confessed his sin. He admitted his mistake. He owned his own brokenness, not privately in a corner, but to the world. He confessed his sin not only in the presence of God, but his brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And that strikes me real close to home, because I did the exact same thing. My grandmother, Pearl Beathy, this monster farm lady that scared the bejesus out of me, she had dementia, and she was in the hospital, and she was going, and I was invited to go visit her at the hospital. And I said, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't want to go. And my whole family went, and I stayed back. And do you think that I was glad that I made that decision? That I avoided doing the hard thing? No. I have regretted that decision my whole life. And I'm writing this sermon for us this week, and I'm like, I have never confessed that as a sin and admitted that was a mistake. I have never acknowledged that has been hurting me all my life, since I was like 9, 10 years old when it happened. And so I took advantage of Tyler's example and I confessed it. It was a sin, and God, I'm sorry. Pearl, I'm sorry. I am sorry that I didn't come visit you. And the minute I did it, like a burden lifted off of me that it's probably been there for almost 30 years, just by taking advantage of this gift of admitting, I made a mistake, I'm broken, I'm not perfect, I'm sorry. Psalm 32, 1 through 5. Oh, what joy. What joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. I made a mistake. I'm just being authentic here. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, God's hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength just evaporated like water in the summer heat. But finally, I confessed all my sins to the Lord. I stopped trying to hide my guilt. And I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you know what happened? God forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. Confession is the antidote to regret. And I want us to respond to what we've heard so far right now by grabbing our prayer cards out from under our seats and our pens. And I want to challenge you to take 60, 90 seconds right now. Are you carrying any regret about anything in your life? Maybe it has to do with a grandparent not visiting, something you said or didn't say. But maybe it has to do with something completely separate. But are you in your chair this morning carrying any regret about anything in your life? I challenge you in the name of Jesus and for the sake of your good, just confess it and acknowledge it and say in pen to paper, I messed up here. I made a mistake here, and I'm sorry. God will bless you for doing it. The guilt will fall away. If you're still writing, keep writing. This sermon was 13 pages. I narrowed it down to 7, and I'm still not done, and we're running out of time. Another great lesson from our elders. Life is short, but then you die, right? That's a lesson. That's something we should tune our ears to. Life is short, and then you die. And this stanza, I think, is the key to the song. All right, he says, one time. All right. You're a legend in my own name, my own mind, my middle name, my goodbye. His name was Robert Joseph. Tyler's name is Tyler Robert Joseph, named after the grandfather. And 11 times in this song, he says, my goodbye. 11 times in the song, he reminds himself, nobody lives forever. You don't have an eternity to do the right thing, to change the way that you think, to change the way that you act. That word, all right, I think is Tyler saying, my grandfather is gone. I don't like it. I don't fully understand it. I didn't get to say goodbye, but it's all right. It's all right because I trust you, God. Your will be done, not mine. Ecclesiastes 8:8. None of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping that obligation, that dark battle. All right, because I trust you. Your will be done, not mine. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. This one. Don't copy this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. All right. I trust you. I'll do that. Not your will, not my will, but yours be done. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since we have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Jesus Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Jesus in God. All right, I trust you. Not my will, but yours be done. We are all going to die. It's a fact of life. And we have been commanded to think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth, so that when our day comes, we won't be afraid and we won't freak out and we won't run from the Lord. We'll run to him, because this world is not your home. Even though it's all you think you've ever known, this world is not your home. And our elders, just by their age, just by their proximity to that moment of leaving, are a constant reminder, a beautiful reminder. We're not here forever. I lost a legend of my faith on Monday. On Monday, a man who has discipled me through his writing for decades passed away, a man named Eugene Peterson, who wrote a quote that I have built this entire student ministry on, a quote that says, discipleship, which is what we are all about, is a long obedience in the same direction, which makes this life worth living. an excerpt from some things that were written about Eugene in a eulogy that I read this week I want to share with you as we wrap up. Last year, a year ago, at 84 years old, Eugene Peterson was asked what he thought about death. "I'm more curious than fearful about death. I have no idea how it's going to work out, but I'll tell you this, I am not afraid. I have been with a lot of people who are dying, and to sit with those who have lived a good life, who have embraced their faith, who are unafraid, I think those are some of the best conversations I have ever had." Even as an elder, this man took time to get to know those who have gone before him. Now, a family member said of Eugene this week after he passed, "During the days leading up to his death, it was apparent that Eugene was navigating that thin and sacred space between heaven and earth. And we overheard him speaking to people who we can only presume were welcoming him into paradise. And his joy. The man remained joyful right up to the end. And the last thing he had to say before leaving this world, let's go." Oh my God. That's beautiful. That is what you can lay claim to yourselves as well. "Then the day that it happened, I recorded this last bit. I look forward to having lunch with you again. This song is all about mistakes and regret and pain and death and sadness, and yet the melody is completely celebratory. Isn't this just the happiest song you've ever heard? Just makes you want to wiggle. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this to every one of us in this room. And this is written from Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible called The Message. "Regarding your question, friends, about what happens to those who are already dead and buried, we don't want you to be in the dark about this any longer. First of all, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave had the last word. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life all those who have died in Jesus. And second, we can tell you with complete confidence, we have God's word on it, that when Jesus comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In fact, they will be ahead of us. Jesus himself will give a command like archangel thunder, God's own trumpet blast, and he will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise, and they will go first. And then the rest of us who are still alive at that time will be caught up with them into the clouds, and we will be walking on air. And then there will be a huge family reunion with Jesus. So reassure one another with these words. People that you're related to that you don't even know exist, you will get to meet and enjoy, play with and talk with. What a vision. What hope. I look forward to having lunch with those people again. That's the good news. That's the gospel message of this song. Even if those that we love die, even if we in this room die, if we have confessed our faith and need for Jesus, we'll live again. That's a great thing to learn this morning and from any elder that we take the time to talk to this week. Bailey, you guys make your way up here. We're going to close with a quick little response. Under your chairs are cards and envelopes, and I want you to grab them now. And as you do, I'm going to remind you of that scripture that we read at the beginning of the message from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, and this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will live a long life full of blessing. I don't want us to miss the opportunity for that blessing this morning. And I want you to just close your eyes right now and just ask the Lord, who is the elder in my life that you would have me honor with some words this morning? Is it a grandmother or grandfather? Is it a teacher or a parent? Is it a small group leader? Who in your life would God have you take 2 minutes of your time to bless by saying something appreciative, something filled with gratitude? You know someone that you can just say, thank you for making a way. Thank you for pointing me in the right direction. Thank you for always being there. They will so appreciate this surprise blessing. And God will bless you in return. As you ask that question of the Lord, if he puts somebody in your mind, man, just start writing. If you want extra letters, you can grab some after church. Let's obey the Lord. Let's change the way that we think by changing the way that we act. Let's bless somebody in a real and tangible way today. And let's remember this week and next week and next week. Let's be people that honor our elders. Jesus, please bless this response. There are people in our lives that we appreciate so much and they have no idea. They may desperately need to hear it. They may be gone tomorrow. So help us take advantage of today and choose life and choose blessings and choose to bless. You give us the right words. We thank you for all the people that you have put in our life. May we be more grateful. May we use your blessings to bless. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.